When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. We are here to review round 10 and talk about all the things going on, including some serious injuries to some very popular players and what we are going to do. Let's go!
Hodge has done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I am joined by my previous friend, the one I used to call the co-host, but I'm rethinking the arrangement after he talked me out of Ballydale on the weekend. Luke Rogerson, how are you, mate?
Good. I'm sorry about that. That was my first of many mistakes for the weekend, in fact. I have this uncanny ability to trade in players that make my team worse.
Did you or did you not trade in Rowan Marshall this week?
We'll get to that.
So 158 points is worse.
Look,
it captained.
It feels worse. That I think speaks to the ability. Is if you're trading in a guy that goes 150 and you're captaining and you still feel shitter about your team and your team is still ranked 1,000 spots worse than it was the previous week, I think that speaks to a pretty uncanny ability.
Yeah, well, look, yes. I won't fight with you there.
It's a good segue. I dropped 1,000 ranks. I'm now out at 2,800 from 1,800. I scored a measly 2,090 with the captaincy on one of the highest scoring players of the week.
The highest scoring player of the week.
It's the Oxlongs is a center for mediocrity.
Well, I'm slowly but surely just inching my way a bit closer.
You're reining me back in.
I'm being the butter mouse, as some might say, and I scored a 21.98 despite not having Ballydale in my team and the 150 points that he scored. That was sitting there on Friday afternoon, but which has got me inside the top 6,000, 5,973. And yeah, we'll see how we go going into the bye rounds. Usually a time where I do pretty well, although I feel much worse set up than I have in previous seasons. But at least we're moving in the right direction. I mean, it's a bit easier when you're ranked outside the 11,000 mark where I was a few weeks ago, but slowly but surely, we're getting back there. Let's talk about some awards this week, starting with the camel. Let's go.
I didn't pop it and lock it last week because I was depressed. I'm still depressed, but
it's the formula. You've got
to
do it.
Yes, I need to bring it back. I need to get dancing on a Monday. You didn't have anyone in the run sheet, so I swooped in. Is that okay?
Yeah, because I had a feeling you might put this player in here, but I don't know. I feel this is a little bit unworthy, but explain yourself.
I'm being harsh.
With Kitty Coleman being the camel.
Kitty Coleman, this is more of a, I'm forecasting here, because of course it was his first
forecasted camel award.
Yeah, it was his first week back in a year. And he was okay. Look, it could have gone worse, it could have gone better. After being forced to kind of trade him in. But I noticed some camel tendencies. Anyone who watched this game, there was a little patch there where he had a kick out. He had an opportunity to quite easily step out of the square. This is not one of those ones where they see a target early before reaching the line and hit the target.
Yeah.
He was standing at the line for a decent amount of time.
No.
He then stayed in the square, kicked it, and then there was the opportunity to receive another plus six. Let me put it this way. Dane Zorko would have been...
There's 9 points right there.
He would have been carrying on like a pork chop asking for this plus six back, round the back, all sorts of points happening. Mm-hmm. Kitty Coleman, I have a feeling this could be a little bit like watching the Wang sometimes, where you think that there's opportunities and he's just not as thirsty. And so it's a foreshadowing Camel of the Week.
Right, okay. Well, so I'll just to piggyback off that. So far, Kitty Coleman has had 2 kickouts so far this year. He had 2 on the weekend. One of them he played on. Dane Zorko has had 48 kick-ins. Mm. He's played on 47 of them.
Yep.
So they both played on one time, but it took Kitty Coleman 2 kicks to make that happen.
Yeah.
Dane Zorko has done it 47 times.
Stop being worried about being a good player, Kitty, and just be a fantasy pig, please.
Yeah. Oh, look, I was happy the fact that he got through without being subbed out. Did still have low tog, but hopefully that ticks up over the next few rounds.
I did think, before we move on to the sponge, I did think that you were going to drive by Tim English for his goal line work.
Mate, yeah, look, that's not on. Did you saw this? I showed you the replay of this.
I was taking a dump and you explicitly called me out of the toilet to
show
this.
Yeah, I rewound it. He was inches, centimetres away from the line and could have just done a little, who was the player? Davidson, little, like, just toe poke it over. Like, wouldn't take any skill at all. Just a little touch off the toe, over the line, there's your +9. No, he whacks it with a fist. Doesn't even get a disposal, Luke. Couldn't even get a +2. Whacks it with a fist between his legs for another teammate to kick a goal. That was just unacceptable.
Disgraceful.
Unacceptable, especially when he had made his big boy's debut. So I'm going to have some stern words to the big llama after that performance.
Sponge.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Who was absorbent and yellow and porous on the weekend, Mitch?
Bailey Dale.
Yeah.
Bailey Dale. Now, this I'll have to have the story here because... Okay. He was in my side on Friday. I was sort of in this weird spot. I had to trade out Jaden Short. I had to trade out Rowan Marshall. I didn't have a whole lot of cash. So I wanted to go... Sorry, I had to trade out TDK. I wanted to go to Marshall. It didn't leave me enough money to get anyone I was super thrilled about. I had less than 900K to spend.
Yeah.
So I sort of landed on Bailey Dale. I was keen on him in the preseason. I have receipts. I was a big Bailey Dale fan. But he kind of slowly started. I thought, okay, well, maybe the interrupted preseason, maybe he's kind of getting into gear now. You've talked me out of it and go, no, just save the money. Just go down to Kitty Coleman, and who, you know, ironically is the camel. But this sponge broke a record for the club with 49 touches in an absolute dominant display. I'm a little annoyed he didn't get 50, and I think he was a little bit annoyed too. But 49 touches, the most ever by a Bulldog, and 150 points to go with it. It could have not gone worse.
Yeah, I think you're lying. I don't think you ever actually had him in the team.
I did. I have receipts.
This is a complete ruse.
It was in the trade targets, Patreon.
I'd argue that Bailey Dale was the camel of the week, because if you have 49 touches and you only have
50.
And you only have 150 points, that's not good enough as a halfback. What, 5 marks?
5 marks, yeah.
49 touches for a halfback, that's camel. Territory. Right. I reckon you need to switch it up.
49 touches any day of the week. I'm giving that the Sponge of the Week award because, yeah, we don't see many. He would have been, and I know, I'm still annoyed that he didn't get the 50, but he would have been the only player with 50 touches since Lachie Neal did it in 2019, I think I remember hearing the stats. So the closest anyone's been to that sort of stat in a long time.
All right, let's have a good old whinge in Bogs and Floats.
Let's do it.
And the winner of the Norm Smith Medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate. You're an embarrassment.
Well, plenty of embarrassments on the weekend, but we'll start positive. On the Fantasy Irrelevant Thursday night, it was Gold Coast and the Hawks, and Jai Newcomb
got it done. Yeah, he had that good run, and he's still pushing it through a little bit longer. He's been solid without being spectacular, but yeah, a big score on the weekend is a good way for him to bounce back from a 67 the week before. So yeah, you'd like to see that.
This is how Fantasy Irrelevant this game was. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel, and we're giving the vlog to Flanders' role.
Well, it's just that he is so irrelevant. Like
he's down almost, I think it's more than 40 points now on the season,
yeah.
Which is crazy. He's
like
a guy that's
Sam Flanders
scoring.
Last year was like one of the must-have players of the season. He's at 746,000. I have zero interest in trading him to my side.
Yeah, and with good reason.
Yeah, nearly 400,000 down and still going. He scored 47 on the weekend, 51 the week before. Hasn't gone over a ton this season. So, yeah, just a shame and a bit of a waste for a very talented fantasy player.
Sydney and Carlton could have been one of the worst games I've watched all season. It was
pretty bad.
To be fair, it was a little bit moist.
A little bit slippery.
But there's maybe a little bit of bragging to do on your behalf because you've been talking up a couple of Swans for the last few weeks.
Yeah, so I'll give the joint best on ground to Isaac Heaney and Chad Warner. Isaac Heaney could have had a bigger game. What did he kick, like 2-5 or something like that?
Could have been monstrous.
So he was big, the 120 plus. Chad Warner, the 116, after people were maybe a little bit underwhelmed with his 87 or something the week before. So their run really starts to open up now. And yeah, they look like they are ready to put Sydney on their back, at least until some of the reinforcements arrive. So they had a big game and I guess a bit of vindication for some of the takes I've been having, i.e. those Sydney players.
You snuck Matt Roberts here in the flog. I mean, I didn't think it was too bad, but we got high standards now, do we?
Well, we do have high standards, and it was his last quarter
Your first week of high standards, I would have thought.
Yeah, well, now that I'm moving in the right direction, I can afford to have this. I don't, you know, got to you know, raise the bar a bit. But his last quarter, mate, was pretty woeful. So, ended up with a score of 73, you know, was... The second half, 11 points in the third quarter, 17 in the fourth quarter. Until that point, he was going okay and just really slowed down in that game. So to me, that is just not good enough when we're trying to get to the buys and I want to get into round 14.
Yeah.
Need him to lift.
Not a game built for those kind of players. Collingwood and Adelaide at the G. Jordan Dawson loves playing at the MCG. You don't have to go back too far to find a game against Collingwood, I believe, where
he had 170 a couple games ago, I think.
He popped off, and he went well. He went 130, which I was very happy to take after his mid-80s score last week.
Yeah, again, not too much floggery in this game. I'm giving it here to James Peatley for just tricking some people. 77. He's not a premium. 65% Tom on ground. Hates being on the field. Loves the bench.
That's about 6% more than Mateus Philippe, actually.
So, yeah, just for tricking a few people into trading him in. And I know he's got West Coast this week, but, yeah, not someone I was super excited about. And this is a good reason why.
Port Adelaide and Geelong. Mate, I reckon you drop your dacks and get your tip out because... I suspect that I'll see hickeys all over it. You were kissed on the tip this week. We copped some bullets.
Mm-hmm.
It forced you into playing one Christian Moraes on field, if you can believe it. But not only that, got worse. I'll get there. It got worse for you. He was the starting sub.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Woe is Mitch. He was down in the dumps. Then, hang on a second. Port Adelaide get injuries bonanza in the first 5 seconds of the game. On comes Moraes, and not only does he come on, every other Port Adelaide player goes down. He's forced to play high time on ground, and he actually scores one of his best scores for the season.
Second best score of the year, of his career, I want to say,
I'm surprised you even still have a tip. It's that kiss.
Well, look, I was a little disappointed, to be honest. I think he could have done more. He was on 68 very early in that final quarter and just pulled up short. So look,
it's my Moz is undefeated.
I think he did well to get on the field early. You know, maybe just told some of the boys to, I don't know, overdo it in the warm up.
Oh, just do their hammies.
Yeah, just do their hammies. I don't know, maybe got in there with something in their waters or something. But he yeah, he did what needed to be done in a time of need for Mitchmond, and that is worthy of a best on ground. Also, Bailey Smith, just so the scale of hardness, the table indicating toughness, it doesn't apply to him. 2 weeks in a row, I've left him off my top 10 captains because he's been up against a red team. Thought he might get tagged in this one. No, he just comes out and scores a 120 again, and he is a machine.
He's matchup proof. I mean, I thought I might be entitled to call the flog Jason Horne-Francis's hamstring, but...
Oh, mate, he's injured.
Not him.
Kick a man while
not
he's
him.
Down.
His hamstring.
Okay.
I'm very selective with my words there. I know I don't want to kick a man while he's down, but I'll kick his hamstring while he's down.
Yeah, okay. Turn it from a 4-weeker into an 8-weeker. Just give it a little bit extra. I'm going to give the flog to Zach Butters. No hamstring excuse here. 46. Where did this come from? 20 touches, no marks, no tackles.
Port Adelaide got
They actually got messed up. But, I mean, his teammate Rosie turned up. Where's your excuse, Butters? I didn't watch this game. We were out watching some local footy, but he, I'm assuming, was tagged, potentially. That's the only explanation I can think of. So if you have any insight into that game, please drop it down in the comment section below, guys. Would love to see what in the hell happened to Zach Butters. I will say, though, he will be cheap. very soon.
Yeah, he and another bloke that we're going to talk about later as well. GWS and Fremantle. Lockie Ash, I've said it a number of times. I've got to stop whinging, but he's been a great pick.
Massive hero of people's season so far this year, averaging 102.
Yeah, he's absolutely killing it. So
the only poor game he had was that round one game against Melbourne. And I do remember, check the tape. I said, hold him. You started him. Not as a cash maker, and he's gone well beyond my expectations.
Someone who's not going as well is your mate Tom Green. What's going on?
Yeah, look, this was very disappointing after last week where he did finally pop a big 130. He's evened it back down. You know, he was going hundreds, low hundreds every time, and he went up 130. He couldn't have that. He said, no, I've got to even that back out. I've got to go back to my 100. So, you know, 78, 133, evens it back out to about a 105. So I think that's just where Tom Green's comfortable sitting in that just very mid score. So I'm expecting, another 105 this week for him.
I mean, Bulldogs is no surprise. Bailey Dale's going to cop the bog.
Yeah.
But I'm a little bit shocked here that I'm copping the flog.
The flog is you. You can't have two talking me out of it. It's talking me out of it. 80 points I missed out by going from him to Kitty Coleman. He's also gone up $60,000. And his break even is 50, so he's going to go up another 50-odd K over the next couple of rounds as well.
Yeah. Hey, I thought I was doing you a favor, and
no, you weren't. You were just sabotaging me.
It hasn't worked well because I've gone back 1,000 spots, and you've gone up 1,000 spots.
Yeah, you just didn't want me getting too close. I think you felt me breathing down your neck. You felt me sort of coming up behind, and also me surging up in the rankings.
Nice. You were surging up on the weekend, weren't you? I was surging up when you saw the horny boy out, because I think that's what helped you mostly.
I did no such thing. No celebrations occurred.
It was a very, very coy face, I'll tell you that for free. Flogging this one as well for Zach Merritt, a little drive-by on him.
Yeah,
he's going to be cheap too.
Similar sort of thing to Zach Butters. Don't know why he sucks so much. I think they obviously copped a beating, so probably just to see there. Richmond versus North Melbourne. All the praise is going to go to Tristan Sherry.
Yeah,
I want to give a shout out to Toby Nankervis. No ruckman had gone over a ton against Tristan Sherry this year. And Nank goes, hold my beer. I'm going to go 150.
Those boys,
and just take it to him.
Those boys love each other too. I saw it might have been Papowski, I think, perhaps tweeted and just said that this is not an isolated incident. These guys go big when they verse each other. This
massive hit out numbers.
So just prior to this game, I went over to Mitch and I said, look, I think because now Horn Francis is out, I think I'm going to have to pocket some cash for next week. So instead of
you were bringing in Tristan Sherry all week.
I was bringing in Tristan Sherry since Friday afternoon. And I don't think about my trades till Friday.
No, yeah, fair.
And I said to Mitch, I think I'm going to need to pocket some cash because, like, with Horn Francis out, I need to get an upgrade. I need to get an upgrade. And I calculated that I think if I go down to Marshall, I might have enough money to fix Horny and get an upgrade.
Yeah, do both.
And so watching Sherry go 94 in the first half.
I could imagine that feeling being similar to Bailey Dale going 150.
No, I didn't care about that. I was puckered up tighter than a snare drum at this point and just praying that Rowan Marshall would do something. And, of course, we now know that he did. But at that point, it was very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, at that point, you were packing your dacks.
I tell you who does not do something. Caleb Daniel does not do something.
No.
And
no excuses in this game. Harry Shieldsall wasn't in the back line.
Well, I thought perhaps...
Richmond?
I thought perhaps that some of the early criticism on Daniel was a little bit unfair.
Watching
some of the absolute paddle foot business.
There was a big grubber kick along the ground.
These were like kicks where there was no one within cooee of him and, missing targets and missing them badly.
And if he's not hitting targets, what's he there for?
He's not taking pack marks, I'll give you the hot tip.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. So, a little bit nervous. Hopefully, he can last one more week before he gets to his bye, and then he's out of there for my side. GWS versus Geelong.
GWS played twice this weekend. Fuck that. They're impressive.
Oh, sorry. Who was this one? No, this was Brisbane versus Lions.
Lions versus
Forgot to change that. Max Gawn just gets it done. No huge standouts in this game, but the fact that Melbourne won was interesting.
Late in this game, I was versing. It wasn't close in the end, to be fair. Louis pantsed me, but Louis was...
Big few last minutes.
He had gone, and there was one point. I was unpacking the dishwasher, the domestic god that I am, and I leant down to put the bowls on the bottom shelf, and just as I was leaning down, I saw... They kicked it long. Max gone.
There was I think there was about four marks in the last, 4 minutes.
So I thought, you know what? I'll just get back to my chore. I won't think about it, okay? I get up, go grab another dish, pop my head up. Hang on, Deja vu.
Yeah.
What's going on
did
here?
Did you accidentally hit reverse?
What's happened rewind? Here? Have I rewound? No, I haven't. No. The identical fucking play.
Yeah.
They kick it back out. Max Gorn, plus six.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah,
it was, I should be rewarded for my domestic prowess, not fucking
yeah, killed. No, no brownie points there. I do remember seeing those exact plays and thinking, come on, Brisbane, you absolute spuds. Kick it anywhere.
Anywhere but Max.
But Max Gorn. I think in the last like two or three minutes, he popped on another 25 points. But he gets the best on ground for the owners. The flog here to me is, you know, maybe a bit of an unfair one, but Oscar McInerney, for the late out... Come on, man.
Don't give Gorn an easy matchup. He doesn't even need it.
It was supposed to be a tough matchup. The big O, he's supposed to be a fairly restrictive ruckman. But no, he said, I'll kick my feet up. And Darcy Fort, you go out there and handle it. And Brisbane lost as a result. So, yeah, just poor form. Poor form. As a non-owner, not happy to see that late change on the Sunday. Final game, West Coast versus St Kilda. Again, I'm giving it to the boys that were at the top of the trade targets for the Patreon members.
Your trade targets have been great. It's hard to believe your team's so shit.
That was a very interesting compliment / jab there. I don't know how to feel about that.
I'm going to raise you up and then cut you right down.
So, Rowan Marshall, 158, his biggest score of the season. And Jack Sinclair, I think, might have been his biggest score of the season as well, just with the 130 odd. Mm. Very, very similar. Yeah, 139, very similar to his Richmond game, 134, which was the comparison that I was trying to give. So those boys did the trade targets very proudly. And if you got onto either or both of them, which I would have very much liked to have done, but fell a few dollars short, you'd be very happy.
Yeah, I'm going to take this one because you've got this all wrong. Now, I'm all for calling out disappointing Wang because you're right, he was. But the
it's flog, also your area of expertise.
The flog in this game is some combination of me, Ross Lyon, and Mateus Philippou. This is some sort of sick love triangle because we're all flogs. Okay, Ross Lyon.
This is for the people show. You're the only idiot that has Philippou in your side.
Don't care. You always complain on this show. Let me have this for a second.
Touche.
Ross Lyon, midweek, is speaking about Mateus Philippou like he's the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's talking about this guy's a generational talent. This guy, we could play him forward, we can play him midfield.
He's going to get some more
midfield time this week. Just give him time.
Yeah.
58%.
Hey, at CBAs?
No, don't interrupt me. 58% time on ground.
Was it actually
two CBAs
low?
And... Let me give you the kicker. St Kilda fucking lost.
Yeah, to the Eagles.
West Coast.
To the Eagles.
What the fucking fuck?
Yeah, no goals in that game for him.
Now, why the fuck did I trade him in? I mean, I get it. Hey, that's what people are screaming down into their laptops and phones is, Luke, it's your fucking fault. I get it. But... give me a fucking spell.
Well, that's actually an excellent segue, Luke, into the strategy chat that we're going to talk about today, which involves injuries and one injury in particular to Jackson McRae. So the beneficiary of the Jackson McRae injury has to be your man, has to be Mateus Philippou.
Don't do me like this.
Has to get more time, more CBAs.
No! Stop it. Stop it. I need
pulled
this.
Pulled you back in.
I need this win. I need this win. Don't moz it for
no,
me.
No, you're going to get the win.
You are a dirty mozzer.
But seriously, we've got a few injuries to some very popular players. So Jason Horne-Francis, he's out four weeks with the hamstring. So he's a trade. It's looking very likely that Jackson McRae is going to at least spend a bit of time on the sidelines, maybe at least till his bye, I would suspect, with a back injury. He stayed in Perth, got some scans. Teams say they're very worried, so I am forecasting the fact that he is going to be missing some time. We've also got Finn Callahan confirm he's missing 3 to 4 weeks with a dislocation to his shoulder, so he might be out to the bye round potentially
as
well.
Ished.
He could be. So, some popular players in there. So, again, it's a week when we're coming back off some popular players being out in TDK and Jaden Short. We're stuck in this spot where we might not get upgrades again. What should we do with these players that we've got in our side? If you've got one, two, heaven forbid you've got all three.
If you'll indulge me for just one more moment.
Yes, go.
Remember those trades that I came and spoke to you about Sunday morning?
Yeah, you were banking cash, so you could do the upgrade as well as the fix of the injuries.
I got him by 7K, and it doesn't matter because Jack McRae is now injured. So I got in.
So what you wanted to do, you can do.
I can. I horn Francis to Chad Warner and still do Riley Bice to Jack Sinclair. I budgeted almost perfectly.
Perfect budgeting, mate.
And
doesn't matter.
Doesn't fucking matter.
So, yeah.
What are we doing? I mean, this... The question is, what are we doing? But these are the easiest weeks sometimes to know what you're doing because you don't have
a
choice.
I mean,
sometimes.
I think they've got to go. So,
So let's say of the forwards, I'm anticipating that most teams will be at least maybe missing one of those guys that we see as there or thereabouts. The trouble, I think, is teams that have both Horn Francis and McRae.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's two obvious options to go to. What's your initial thoughts?
No, so, I mean, the guys I've been sort of thinking, like Chad Warner's been a guy I've been championing as a trade target. He did move up a little bit of cash, but he's still just under 900K, so I think he's a good option there. A lot of people are going to be looking at Nick Martin.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think he's going to be the popular name. He's just ticked over $1 million. He does have a really nice round 16 buy, which is good. We do have Bailey Smith in our forward line that also has the round 16 buy. I think he's an okay option. I don't think he presents a whole lot of value, but I think he's like a fair price where he's in at the moment. If you don't have Isaac Rankin, I think he's the first name I would go to with a West Coast Eagles matchup this week. I'd be looking at him first, and he's cheaper than a Nick Martin, just a little bit more than a Chad Warner. But outside of that, I'm also looking at a few midfielders as well. So if you have the potential to do some DPP, put like a Levi Ashcroft into your forward line or Ryan Marich, or some people might have a Peatling or someone in there.
Or a Mateus Philippou, you know, some teams might have.
Sure, yeah, something weird like that. They might have sitting there. I would be looking at a few midfielders this week that present a bit more value in my eyes. Someone like a Noah Anderson, someone potentially like an Isaac Heaney. You could look... maybe he's got a super high break even, but could you go a Zach Merritt? Zach Merritt is cheaper than Nick Martin.
That is crazy. And you're right in saying it's the reason that it's a tough decision is because the break even's insane. I haven't yet checked, but I'm guessing it's
150.
Yeah. And so the trouble is that against Richmond, that's not only on the cards, that's like achievable for
the
Zach
thing
Merritt.
Is as well with the buy rounds. We're going to talk about some buy round strategy coming up in a second. You've really only got 2 weeks to trade in Zach Merritt. Until then, you're waiting till after his buy round.
Yeah.
Because once the first round of buys come, you should only be trading in players who have already had their buy. So if you're going to get Zach Merritt before his buy, it needs to be now or it needs to be next week. Otherwise, then you're waiting till after his buy and he might be then back up in price. And he's got some good matchups. Like he starts with Richmond this week.
This is the thing. And I mean, you look at his matchups to the buy. So Richmond, of course, he goes the Lions then. But Carlton haven't been too bad. Then you go Geelong, Fremantle. He has the Suns after his bye, but again, guess who he gets again?
Yeah, he gets Richmond. Like a few weeks later.
He gets Richmond two times in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So he goes 150 in both of those games. It doesn't fucking matter what he goes in the rest of them because he's going to be averaging a good score.
I mean, with that said, so does Nick Martin. So obviously he has the same draw. Yep. So and his break even is at 96. So he's probably not going to be cheaper between now and his bye round. So again, if you want him before his bye, the same logic applies. But I would argue that Zach Merritt is a better player and a better fantasy scorer. I know he had a horrible score on the weekend, but I still think that he is at least 108 averaging player. So he's another option. But I just wanted to make sure that we're looking at midfielders and forwards because I know there is a lot of DPP floating around with some of those mid-price guys potentially sitting in your midfield. It's probably something I'm going to be looking at this week and trading in a midfielder for Jack and moving Levi into my forward line. What if you had a combination, at least two of these players? Like, what are we doing? Yeah, like you. Well, like a lot of people, to be honest.
I don't think I'm making that.
Are you going the cheaper midfielder? Or, like, is there two forwards that you sort of wanted to go? Is there someone you want to go down to go up? Philippou an actual target?
No, he's not.
No, I'd wait a week. But he could be in a week's time.
Wait several weeks. Chad Warner was kind of always in my sights prior to seeing the injury news. So I feel as though that for me is a good opportunity to lock that away. And then because of what I did midway through the week, and I do have a lot of cash, so maybe I'm in a slightly different position to some other people that don't have as much. I too, then think the logic sends me to the midfield because mm-hmm. I think that's where you're going to get best bang for
your buck. Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/andysgirls or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andysgirls.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Your buck and also like long-term bang for your buck. But Nick Martin against Essendon. He plays well against Essendon.
Yeah, good at training.
He does. Oh, he's unbelievable on the track. Against the Tigers, we could be looking at 200 territory here.
Yeah, he could go really big. In a big game as well on the Friday night, I feel like won't leave the ground as he so often does.
What do you play this weekend?
He had 90%, so kick his feet up for a bit, slacking a bit there. I think the two forward options there are, your Warner. I'd go Warner over Martin. Rankin, I'd also, if you don't have him, I consider him there. I'm bypassing Peatling. Here's another curly one. I know his bye is in a week. What about Matthew Kennedy?
Well, this is...
We have not talked about him at all.
Hey, I was preaching Matt Kennedy.
In the preseason, you were all over him, and you should have gone there because he's been an absolute knockout pick.
He's been good. He was an expensive option as far as forwards go in the preseason.
He's averaging 100 for the year.
I think that's what turned people off a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, hindsight.
I think he's averaging 65% CBAs, and we sort of said if he gets more than 50% CBAs, he's a great, great pick. So
I mean, the thing that we didn't see much of because he only just poked his head back in very briefly was Adam Treloar, and I think. We obviously knew he was going to be out to start the season, but I think that maybe that was part of a seeming expiry on Kennedy. But the other thing too was I think that we all predicted that Riley Sanders was going to play
that has not happened.
I feel good for Matt Kennedy because we were worried that he was going to go from Carlton, where he was playing a poor role, straight to the Bulldogs and play a poor role. So good on Matt Kennedy.
5 tons in a row. Like if you were to tell me Matt Kennedy averages more than like I actually might even predict. If everything was to stay the same, Matt Kennedy averages more than Nick Martin for the rest of the season. He is a better role.
I know I'm looking a long way ahead, but you don't really see too many tough matchups for him for the rest of the year. Like, he's got GWS in round 21, but outside of that, I'm seeing, like, mostly reasonably positive stuff. There might be a little patch there, Sydney, North Adelaide, Brisbane.
That's getting any attention. I mean, Nick Martin doesn't normally either for some weird reason, but
the knock on Kennedy, the knock on Kennedy's never been his ability to find the footy. It's just been whether he's been in that role or not. So, yeah, Kennedy, hey, I don't know if I can go there now because it just feels to me like you're now paying what I would say is a fair price. But
The thing is as well, people will probably not go there because he's got the round 12 bye, but you're trading out Jason Horne-Francis, who had the round 12 bye. So if you already liked your bye structure and you had something there and you wanted to maybe keep some consistency with that, he is a decent option, I think. And there's some Merritt, who plays for Essendon.
He does. Let me do that.
In considering him over a Nick Martin and thinking that he might be a better trade target. What if you had all three, Luke? What if you had all three of those injuries? Is there an order in which you'd prioritize trading them out?
I think I'm shifting Callaghan. Horne-Francis and Callaghan, they're both out.
Yeah.
For an extended period.
I think similar time.
I think I haven't heard the latest on McRae, but I think he's the one that you hold because...
I think I agree.
And those other guys, they were kind of underperforming in patches.
Yeah. I mean, Horne-Francis, he and McRae, I think, could be comparable, but we know he's going to be out for 4 weeks, I think, or three games.
If it comes out that McRae's out for 10 weeks, then I think that kind of changes your plans.
It might, yeah.
It also, I write in probably saying that it also kind of depends maybe where you have your best cover as well with your rookies this week. You might go, okay,
in the midfield, maybe you've got better cover.
So I need to ditch two, and I think I can get a better rookie on field in the midfield. Maybe consider that.
Funnily enough, and I didn't know that, I thought this was not going to be the case, but Finn Callaghan is the most expensive of the three, and Jason Horne-Francis is the cheapest. So again, you could use what you get on the other side to dictate that. So if you had all three and, you know, holding Horne-Francis was the way that you could get the best trade-ins because those other guys just got you to the guy that you liked, I'd also tick that off as well because I don't think any of these guys are back within 1 week. I think they're all out multiple weeks. So whoever you don't trade this week, you're probably trading next week, potentially. I'd probably just go from there. But if the difference in the cash was what helped you get a better trade, I would tick off trading the more expensive players.
You want to talk buy round strategy. I don't know if my head is firmly in the sand. I'm like one of those umbrellas that you screw in at the beach. That's just how far right in the there. Sand I am with my buy round strategy. But you want to talk about it?
I want to talk about the buy. Well, we're here, mate. We've got one more round. We need to start considering it. I want to talk about the way we need to be forecasting and planning the trades that we want to be making over the buy rounds in two directions. Who we want coming in and when, and who we want to be trading out and when. So this is where I'll start the shift away from get your rookies off field. Because the rookies we've probably got left, maybe we've got a Zach Reed, we've got an Ashcroft, maybe we've got a Riley Bice or something like that. We now are shifting away from get these rookies off at all expenses to let's improve our side but also improve our buy structure. So ideally, you want to be trying to plan, okay, on this buy round when this guy has his buy, I'm going to trade him to someone coming off their buy. And there's no exception to that. Like you trading in someone who has had their buy, 10 times out of 10, I will say to get that player. I know we're going to get the questions later on. Can I trade this guy who's got his buy still coming up if I think he's value? My answer is no. You trade in a player who has an extra game than trading in a player that you think is better value because that extra game almost always trumps the value. Unless it's an insane amount of value that you just absolutely cannot pass up, but I see that very unlikely happening. So, do you have, like, for example, in your side, like, I know we both trading Kadeem Coleman.
Yep.
So he's a guy that we would go, okay, we're in a perfect world, we're holding him to round 16. He goes at round 16. We get someone who's already had their buy. So going through the rounds, do you want to do trade outs or trade ins first?
Let's do trade outs first.
Trade outs. So round 12. Round 12 is always the weirdest and most awkward round for the buys because you don't have anyone to trade in that's had their buy. You're trading into players that have got their buy coming up. So to me, this has always been a round where if I've got nothing really sure what to do, I'm fixing up red dots and I'm also getting rid of duds. So last year, I think it was, who was it? Oh, it was Powell.
Pow.
He went on the bye because he was underperforming. So very similar situation this year. We've got an underperforming kangaroo in Caleb Daniel. He's a prime candidate. If you haven't been able to trade him out so far, he, I think, is primed to go on round 12.
So if you could do, I mean, if you could do, are we getting, we get three trades leading into that?
Three trades. That yep. round? Three
so
trades.
Can, if we could do two kind of rookie fix-ups and get Caleb Daniel to someone, is that the kind of trading that we might like to do?
Absolutely perfect. So I'd be wanting to try and, yeah, fix a couple of red dots, because then at least over the bye rounds, you're going from, you know, averaging 18 players on a round to 20 players on a round. You're going to maybe get some cash gen over that time. And you also want to look and see, okay, on each round, so if I put my little buy detector on, okay, and I look at the players that I have missing in round 12, I'm missing Sheasel, I'm missing Connor Rosie, I'm missing Tib English, and I'm missing Caleb Daniel. So four players. So from my normal best 22, I've got four missing. That leaves me with 18. That's my best 18 anyway. So how much can I actually improve my side that week by making an upgrade versus do I already expect my 18 on field to be just as good as the 18 if I bring another player in? Now, I might have someone like, I don't know, Corey Warner or Caden Cleary, or who are you pointing at?
Max Hall.
Max Hall on my side. And okay, if I've got 18 and he's my 18, well then shit, maybe I want to try and get an upgrade, get Caleb Daniel to someone that I actually expect to be my 18th score. But if not, maybe you're better off banking that cash and spending that up on an upgrade on a week that maybe you've got more big guns missing for your side, and you can sort of bring in that player who's coming off their bye, has an extra game. So that first round, you're not getting that extra value in that bonus game. So it is usually the week that it's good to do a bit of fix up, maybe bank some cash, sideways, shuffles and things like that.
All right, let's do round 13.
Round 13. Yeah. Caleb Sarong. He can go.
He's gone.
Now, I've got Philippou question mark here.
Oh, no. If I have to trade him there,
depending
just,
what he does.
That's so dire.
Because I also, if we go over to round 14, there's a world where coming off round 13, he could be a trade-in target as well, depending on how he goes, because he's still going to be very cheap.
Makes me sick.
What do you expect him to do now? Like, all jokes aside, I do expect him to go into the mid more and play more time on ground. I think this can only be good for him, McRae being out.
Oh, I'm lost on him. It look, 58% time on ground is so bad for a guy that, like I said, Ross Lyon midweek is
he does being, that. Ross being coy hates about playing 22 players fair game time. He'll play 18 players 87% and then four players
was,
like 60.
When it was Hugh Boxall or Garcia, I was kind of like, okay, I get it. It's like a rookie. Yeah. And I know Philippou is a rookie, but the way that he, even Ross, talks about Philippou.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that, especially what they did with him at the end of last year. So
yeah,
but I agree. The logic there for non-owners and people who are looking to pounce is that maybe there's an opportunity coming up.
Yeah. But if he doesn't, if he's sucking the next 2 weeks again,
yeah,
trade him.
I have to basically treat him like a guy that I've had all year and that I just need to move. I can't get caught up.
So he's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Now I would prefer to be trading the rookies. Like your Boxalls and your Halls and your Hasties, maybe in round 12 because they're red dots anyway. Maybe Max Hall's a different example.
Yeah, I think Hall would be a guy that you would move off at 13. He's been going okay without being great and he served his purpose, and so then you move
So
off.
Max Hall, Cooper Simpson. I know maybe he won't have generated as much cash then, but he's not going to generate any cash on that week.
Yep.
So by getting him to a player that is playing. Now, hopefully we're going to have some cash cows coming off the round 12 bye, but this year, you know, we'll wait and see. We can't be too picky on the cash cows. We'll take what we're given. But those are some of the players that I'd be looking. So not too many like massive targets. So that's where the extra bit of cash from round 12's trades might come in handy to make a genuine upgrade. What about players coming off the round 12? Is there any names that you maybe have taken a look at and circled that you would like to trade in coming off their bye?
Well, I mean, it's only a couple of weeks away, so I don't think Zach Butters will necessarily have bottomed out, but if you were looking for a guy that's probably cheaper or is going to be, I would think, cheaper than what he can deliver, Zach Butters could be a guy for the power. Sam Walsh, what do we think about Sam Walsh? He got
He's
tagged on the weekend.
He's a hard read to me.
He is every year because there's a little inkling of injury always there, and then there's this inconsistency that he has.
So he's been very underwhelming this season, except for two games. He had a 137 against Collingwood and a 126 against West Coast. In the West Coast game, he kicked three goals. That was that strangely uncontested game.
Yep.
He kicked three goals in that one. The Collingwood game was his best game of the season, where he had 31 touches, 10 tackles and 7 marks, but hasn't got anywhere near that. No other games over 100.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be one that I'd feel good about.
I will say he does have a much better run than Butters, though. So he goes Essendon, West Coast, North in his three games.
That is pretty good.
So, which is a really nice run, whereas Butters...
North has been a little harder for midfielders this year,
A little bit compared to previous seasons. Butters goes up against GWS, Melbourne, Sydney. So GWS, he could get the Bedford tag. Melbourne, he could get the Oliver tag now. And then Sydney, he'd get James Jordan. So my instinct was I have much more confidence that eventually Butters is going to be that top 8, top 10 midfielder for the rest of the season. But maybe within that patch of games, it might be a case of let's wait until he gets through these tag games, and then he goes to Carlton, Brisbane, West Coast, Hawthorn, Adelaide, Geelong. And that run is a lot better after that three-game stretch, GWS, so round 13 through 15. So that's sort of my thoughts there. You could shop at the top, like Bontempelli is a name we'd all love to have on our side. He's more expensive.
Yeah.
But also the midfielders, I'm struggling to find more than 8 players that I'm super confident in this season. Like, really, no other player. I think the only 110 averaging midfielder so far this season is Jordan Dawson. He's the only one. 111.6. No one else is averaging over 110. And a lot of people are averaging below 105.
And this is probably a situation where you can then target probably a good run if you're looking at two guys that you kind of try and split hairs on and you feel like you're not confident in that top 8. Maybe you do target a good run coming off the buys.
Yeah. So, just interesting that, the midfielders, again, like last year we saw the same sort of thing and it's following suit again this season. Round 14.
Trading out. This is a big one for me because you've got Ned Long, even Matt Roberts, you've got Sam Lawler, you've got the Sydney rookies if you're still running them at that point. So I think that there's, just looking at my team, there's a few guys there that you can cash in on, I reckon.
Yeah, Matt Roberts is an interesting discussion point here. Is he the kind of player that you'd be looking to trade out at that round?
I think teams that are in a far better position than us, yes. I've been looking at some teams.
He's not top 6.
No, and I've been looking at some teams that are like highly ranked. You know, you just have a little bit of a squiz and imagine what could be. It's like when you go to an open house for a home you can't afford.
Dangerous.
There's teams that are in, or will be, I would imagine, in a position on round 14 to go, hey, Matt Roberts, guess what? You're about to turn into
Jack Sinclair.
Sinclair or Wang or whoever it is. So,
Sheasel.
So I think he is for some teams.
Yeah, I think so. I'd prioritise like a Ned Long or someone like that first and foremost. But yeah, I do think that it is this time of year where those kind of players can look to go. And trading in, so yeah, it's Saints and Frio's.
Yeah.
Frio players. So yeah, Sinclair, Steele, Philippou potentially if he goes on a good run. I'm not trading in Caleb Sarong. Brayshaw maybe, depending on what his price does. You got less players to choose from, obviously, from the two teams. Round 15, if you're a schmuck like me and you've got Clayton Oliver, just hope he can scrape his way to 80s and 90s and then trade him at round 15. You're Ryan Marich. I think James Peatling is a definite candidate to go. I know people just traded him in, but I don't see him as a top 6 forward.
What are you doing with, like, a Melbourne defender? What about a Bowie? Is Bowie sticking around? I think initially you would have thought no. But yeah. I think now
maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I think now maybe. The other thing that's interesting with the defenders is a lot of the top defenders are those round 16 guys in Whitfield and Zorko. So you've got Sheasel, you've got the two Saints boys. Then the only other real confident players you have, and you've probably got Connor Rosie joining that group. Like, he's probably going to get DPP.
This is true.
So he's going to be a top 6 defender.
You got Zach Reed.
Zach Reed, yeah, on form alone. Probably with those names, like, it doesn't feel like if you have all those three, like, you're not trading Bowie to, I don't know, like a Bailey Dale, really.
Yeah. How far away is Callum Mills? Not because I think he's going to be top six, but just because...
Well, he played half on the weekend, I think.
Well, I think this is just going to influence how this whole thing shakes out because...
It could be interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, have been putting the defenders on the back burner for a bit because we've had a couple of decent scoring rookies.
Yep.
So, yeah, that whole dynamic with Coleman, Mills, and then you've got these top-of-the-line guys. It's interesting. Adelaide, any ones from...
So, Jordan Dawson, I want to talk about him because I am thinking that he is now, to me, head and shoulders above every other midfielder in the competition when it comes to fantasy. Yeah, so I have nowhere near as much confidence in any other player than I do with him. So if I didn't and I don't have him on my side, I would be, like, this is the point of the season where I'm starting to go, okay, value, schmalu, like, let's get those guys in. Jordan Dawson, to me, is the kind of guy that I'd be, if I didn't have him in my side, I'd be preparing to find some sort of a way to get him into my team off his. So someone like Levi Ashcroft to a Jordan Dawson as like my final upgrade would be, in my eyes, like the perfect trade in that round to try and work towards.
Levi's got so much money on his head now that it makes it a little easier than it would have otherwise
been. Because he comes off his buyers and goes straight into Richmond, Melbourne.
Ooh.
So...
yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty nice. And maybe he sits forward in that Richmond game, but even still, he's just that good. I mean, yeah. So, is there any other player that you kind of see close to Dawson? I mean, at the start of the season, I might have said Zach Merritt, Andrew Brayshaw, Nick Dacos, but I think those guys just get a bit too much attention and don't handle it as well as a Dawson does.
Bailey Smith, baby.
I mean, yeah, Bailey Smith, genuinely.
He's 10 points better. Let's go!
As a midfielder.
Yeah. No, I think at the moment he's head and shoulders. But the thing is, we kind of know that there are two different phases to the AFL season, I feel like. And it's the old, like, Game of Thrones, winter is coming. Are you proud of me for my Game of Thrones?
Nice, reference? Yeah.
Thank you, appreciate it. I think that things just ramp up a little bit more and some of those big dogs come out to play when they can sniff a finals berth too.
Yeah. The only other player I might put near Jordan Dawson is Josh Dunkley. He kind of gets there more just on pure consistency.
Yeah.
So he had his worst game on the weekend just gone, but it was a 94. So it's not exactly like
that's crazy
disaster. He doesn't quite have those like frequency of ceiling. But with that said, like he's got several 110 games, so he might be maybe the other one, but he's got around 16 bars. So if you're not, again, similar to Merritt, you kind of can't get him until after the buys are sort of over. So Dawson is one where I am maybe considering now to start going against that value strategy that I've been preaching up until this point on his buy, because obviously you've got the two down, one up. It's a bit easier to get there without completely breaking your team.
And then just quickly on that round 16, we mentioned Kitty Coleman can be moved on. I still think that Zach Reed's going to be at the Oxlongs at that point.
I think he's going to hang on for me as well.
Yeah, and he and Levi Ashcroft at the moment are probably firming as the guys that you'd feel even half.
Because we want heartbeats, right? We want guys that are there. We know we're going to be there each and every week. And there's players that are going to do that. Touch wood.
Yeah, fuck, even Mozd it for sure. anyone else there?
Well, players we haven't talked about so far are rucks. Are we all just happy with our rucks right now? I mean, you'd be happiest if you had Sherry and Marshall. But if you had an English, you had a Max Gawn. I mean, Max Gawn, obviously, he's 1.2 million.
Yeah.
Are we just leaving it until the buys are over?
If you have one of English, Sherry, Marshall, or Gawn, yes.
Yeah.
If you have traded in Luke Jackson...
he goes on his buy.
Yeah, I think he falls into that category.
He'd be nice to go to, like, a Sherry coming off his...
yeah, so I think maybe that's the one cut. Otherwise, I'm not doing like trying to get English to Sherry or something week to week that could be...
and I'm not doing like a Marshall to Sherry off his buy. I'm just holding that. I think there's better things to do.
The thing I will say about my big, you know, I was big dick swinging when Marshall went huge on the weekend, but the reason I had Sherry in my plans was not this week's matchup. I knew, I felt like both of them were going to go really big this week. I think Sherry has a better run in the next two or three than what Marshall does.
He goes up against Collingwood, and then after his bye, goes up against West Coast.
So I'm a little bit nervous. I'm happy with what Marshall gave us on the weekend, but I'm nervous at what the difference could be there in the coming weeks.
History does suggest that Rowan Marshall can get it done even in tough matchups. So that's my crossing my fingers at something like that.
The good thing is he scored 150 and St Kilda lost to West Coast. Yeah. So if you're planning for St Kilda this coming week, you're like, fucking no worries.
Let Rowan Marshall do whatever he wants.
Care.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think with those four rucks, that's luxury season moves is trying to get to... I think Sherry and Marshall are going to be the two guys again. Some people might say Gawn. I still think it's going to be those two guys from last year. Now that Marshall looks like he's moving and playing a bit more like his old self. But who knows? We might get some injuries. Things might change.
This has been the longest strategy chat ever. Do you still want to chop or...?
No, I thought that was part of the chops. You know, we were chopping preemptively.
We were.
Well, we know who we're chopping. It's the injured players now, right?
We do. Early trades for you this round. What are you looking at?
I'm still processing, but... I had some money to do some upgrades from a red dot rookie. With McRae now being likely out, I don't think I can do that anymore, but I'm still trying to get more green dots on my side. So at the moment, I am doing McRae to Noah Anderson by moving Levi into the midfield, into the forward line.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get rid of a red dot, either Lewis Hayes or Lucas Camprioli, and I'm eyeing off Angus Sheldrick a little... short-term play to generate a bit of cash, sit on my field at M8 for this week.
Slowed down the second half.
He did. He big played time. Very low time on ground.
Why? 60% in the second half? Just or
overall.
The board?
I mean, 60% total. But
those are Philippou territories, mate.
But he does have a break-even of 19. We know he can score big. He's got Melbourne, Adelaide, Richmond leading into his bye. So it's like a three-week play. I'm not 100% sold on it yet. I'm still trying to figure out if there's something else I can do, but I've just got this awkward amount of money where I can't quite get someone I'm really happy with, and I want to do something with my red dots leading into the bye round. So what about you?
Well, prior to hearing the McRae news, like I said, I was going to do Horn Francis to Warner and then Bice to Sinclair, which I was feeling really good about. I mean, I wanted Sinclair this week. This is the hardest part about injuries. I said this to you.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily... watching the player that got away from you score well, because you knew that was going to happen. That's who you were going for. It's watching the fucking dud that you had to
settle for. Oh, right. Yeah.
So Max Hall is not playing at the Oxlongs this week if I get to do my Sinclair trade, and through DPP, I have to watch his dirty ass get on the field. So I needed a Hall pass. So with that now screwed, McRae to Zach Merritt be a juicy little... thing that I could do this week?
It could be. I mean, the Merritt thing...
I've got money to do essentially whatever I want.
Yeah, so Merritt... If I was in a better position and I had more green dots, I was generating more cash, I would consider the Merritt play, because he's coming up against Richmond. He hadn't gone below 80 until this past weekend. In my eyes, before this last weekend, he was a 110 averaging player. I still think he is that, to be fair. He's averaging 101.6 on the season. That's dramatically reduced by that 54. Round 16 bye, it's a great bye round to have in your midfield if you don't have like a Tom Green or a Dunkley. I think it's good to have at least one of those players in. But the break even is 152.
It's big.
Like, he's more than likely going to be... I mean, maybe he hits that.
Yeah, I mean, you get him at the same price.
More than likely, he's going to be the same price or cheaper.
At the very worst, you're getting him at the
same
price.
At the very worst.
So
maybe it depends on what your captain options might be, because he's going to be a captain option, I think, this week. And whether or not you're confident with your other captain options. I'm probably not going to go there, because I think my cash generation needs to be still my priority with how my bench is looking. And if I can risk him not going massive and maybe still dropping another 40K and perhaps targeting him in round 12 from a Caleb Daniel or something like that, then that's something I'll entertain. But
jeez, I've been talking about Jack McRae back, but I'm seeing on the Twitter sphere...
Punctured lung.
Fucking fuck. Expected to miss 1 week, I'm seeing in these... mate,
surely with a punctured lung, it's longer than that.
If you miss 1 week with a punctured lung, you're tough as woodpecker lips. Like, people will sit out work for a week with a paper cut.
Oh, 100%.
Punctured lung, he's back in the field in a week. That leads me to my next point.
Okay.
If Jack McRae is only out for a week and all the cash that I've got, is it worth me just doing my trades that I have?
I think it would be.
having, because my best, and I've got my little bunny ears up here, but my best coverage is on the forward line, and I would be.
So you'd be playing the same rookie on field anyway.
I'd be getting rid of Bice and getting in Sinclair, who I'd be happy with. I'd almost consider that.
Look, if I could guarantee that he was going to be out just 1 week, then yeah, to me it would make sense for him to miss 2 weeks because then they've got their bye.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Risk I wouldn't. It. I would expect. I think the most likely scenario is he misses 2 weeks, comes back after his bye. Yeah. Could you get it like best 18 like the following week?
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about it is that we know Ross Lyon won't play games with us. You know what I mean? We know he's a straight shooter and he'll tell us exactly how it is.
At least as far as injuries goes, when it comes to playing players on field.
I have my tongue firmly in my chin. Yeah. I hate you, Ross.
Yeah, no, he sucks. He's done us dirty a lot this season with rooks, subs, time on ground, all sorts of shit roles. Anyway, one to think, and I think we'll be watching that closely in terms of the recovery time, because if it is just the 1 week, then I do think holding him is a serious play, especially if you, like you, Luke, have the ability to do an upgrade regardless with the Horn Francis injury. If you don't, then I think you still trade him out anyway, because you've already got one injury, maybe you're not able to do something else. You might as well sort of get an extra player on field this week. But yeah, very independent of your team. So thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. Make sure you give this one a big old thumbs up over on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to wherever you listen or watch this podcast. And give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you haven't done so already. We'll be back on Friday for our live show. Hopefully, I hit the record button on the audio and we unmute ourselves as we go live. I'll make sure I don't know, take a shot or something before so I'm alert and ready to go.
You're going on probation, mate.
Yeah, we won't keep you guessing this time around. Until then, guys, we'll see you guys later and have a good week. Bye.